How God's People Excuse Their Failures. We are going to study the prophecy of Malachi. Malachi is an undated prophetic book, but the temple had evidently been restored. Unfortunately, the influence of Ezra, Nehemiah, Haggai, and Zechariah had been forgotten. The people had moved away from the wonderful Reformation that Haggai had brought about. They were now satisfied in the completed temple. They were moving into business areas. They were growing rich and increased in goods and felt they had need of nothing. One of the key words in the book of Malachi is the word translated in the King James Version, wherein. It's also translated how. The word that Malachi used is a very short word. It can be pronounced ma, ma, meh, and means what, how, why. It's an exclamation, a question, a word that indicates surprise and horror and can be ironically doubtful. In this week's lesson, we are going to cover chapters 1 and 2 of this book. The word of the Lord came to Malachi concerning Israel. I have loved you, but you say, wherein hast thou loved us? Where has God loved us? What's there so great about that? Now the Lord goes back to Esau and Jacob. And he says, I've been loving the true people of God ever since the beginning. I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau. Why? Because one served me, and one served his own interest. The Lord made predictions concerning Esau, that Esau would be overthrown, called the border of wickedness. This word is used a few times in Malachi, and it literally means lawlessness. Your eyes will see this, and you shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. So the first one was Israel's words of self-justification, of questioning God's loving care for them, is questioned. Now the second illustration, the son honors his father. The servant honors his master. You call me father, you call me master. But where is mine honor? O priests that despise my name, and say, wherein have ye despised thee? Wherein? They don't know that they're despising. They're going their own way. They are taking the adulation of the congregation, the people. They're getting their wealth. They don't realize they are despising God's name, dragging it in the dust. You offer polluted bread. Now he had discussed clean sacrifice and polluted sacrifice in Haggai. Now he says, you are offering polluted bread. You yourself are defiled. So the bread you take in your hand, the sacrifices that you present in your hand, are defiled because you are defiled. But you say, wherein have we polluted? You say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. Now, if you offer the blind, the lame, and the sick, isn't that despising me? If you were offering a gift to the governor, would you go about it this way? Just try it and see. Will he respect you? Will he accept you? Is there any among you who would shut the doors for naught? Kindle a fire for nothing? I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord. He says, you who serve the temple are trying to get something out of it. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord. I will not accept your offering. For my name will be made great among the Gentiles. Now this is one of the hints that are given by the prophets in verse 11, that the Gentiles are one day going to be accepted. In every place incense shall be offered unto my name, for my name shall be great among the heathen nations, saith the Lord. But the priests, and through them the people, are despising the table of the Lord. And he say, the table of the Lord is polluted. Fruit thereof, the meat thereof, is contemptible. And you say, behold, what a weariness it is. And ye have snuffed, or sniffed, or poo-pooed my altar, saith the Lord. He brought that which is torn and lame. He brought an offering of this type. Should I receive it at your hand? But cursed be the deceiver who has a herd full of cattle, and he sacrifices a corrupt thing, and forgets that I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful. So in this first chapter, the Lord focuses on the priests, who by their attitude to the service, selfish desire to get for themselves, and a misrepresentation of the holiness and the honor due to God, are causing God's name to be despised. And the Lord is saying through Malachi, you keep this up and I'm going to call the Gentiles. And they're going to take your place. And they're going to offer incense of praise to me and prayer to me. And they're going to feast on the bread of life. Now in chapter 2, he continues his diatribe against the priests. This is for you. If you will not hear nor lay it to heart to give me glory, glory due to my name. Now, he's already mentioned this in 1:6. Ye despise my name. Now, in 2:2, he says, you're not giving glory to my name. The 144,000 have the Father's name written in their foreheads. The name of God stands for his character. And they don't give glory to his name. Now he represents himself again as Yahweh of hosts, Yahweh Tzabaoth. He's got many people besides these few that are worshipping him there in Israel. Said the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you. I'll curse your blessings. Yea, I've already cursed them, because ye have not laid this to the heart. How far the people and the priests have come since the days of Zerubbabel and Joshua and the remnant that rebuilt the temple. In 3 weeks, they were ready to bring about a reformation, from the governor through the high priest to the priests. They listened to those messages given on 4 separate occasions by the prophet Haggai. They realized the selfishness of their hearts. They dedicated themselves to God, and he richly blessed them. Consider from this day that I will bless you. Now these priests, who should have known better, were not understanding the role that they should have played. And the result was that God's name was misrepresented, his character was misrepresented, and his worship was neglected. Behold, he says, I will corrupt your seed, verse 3. I'll spread refuse upon your faces and upon your solemn feasts, and one shall take you away. And he shall know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord. Now the Lord alludes here to the covenant that was made with the tribe of Levi. You will recollect that at the time of the golden calf, the only tribe that had remained true to God was the tribe of Levi. And when Moses, at the request of God, called upon those who had been faithful to stand forth, the tribe of Levi were the only ones. And so God entered into a covenant of priesthood with them. They were to be the helpers. Aaron was to be the high priest. His sons and their descendants were to be the priests. My covenant was with him for life and peace. I gave them to him for the fear which he feared me and was afraid before my name. At that time, and all through the centuries, the law of truth was in his mouth. He walked with me in peace and equity and turned many away from iniquity. The priest's lips should keep the knowledge of the law. And the people, the ones who you instructed, should seek knowledge at his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. This was his duty. But ye are departed out of my way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the contract that I made with Levi. Therefore, I have made you contemptible before the people, before the 12 tribes, because you have not kept my way and have been partial to the law. Now, just as he told through Haggai, you count from this day. You start obeying, and I will bless you. He's telling the priests through Malachi, you observe. You have departed, and so all your ministry is corrupted, and your reputation is contemptible. Have we not one Father? Hath not God created us? Why do we deal treacherously, every man his brother, profaning the covenant of our fathers? Why don't you realize this? That when you cease to be priests in the fullest sense, then you exploit the people only for wealth. Judah hath dealt treacherously. An abominable thing is committed in Israel. Now this abomination is an interesting word. Found in Ezekiel 16, many other places. The abomination that maketh desolate is found in Daniel and is used by Jesus Christ. It's illustrated by the harlot in Ezekiel 16, the second half of it, and it refers to the harlot tree of Revelation 17, 18. Abomination in Israel and in Jerusalem. Judah hath profaned the sanctuary of the Lord. Bollinger. This word holiness here and in the Psalms are in many versions translated as sanctuary. It's very difficult to decide in some cases whether it is holiness or sanctuary. Now, Bollinger says the priests have defiled the sanctuary. The Lord which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange god. Here is the picture of harlotry, of apostasy, of defiling the sanctuary, of setting up an alternative. That Christ said, the abomination of desolation shall be set up. Married the daughter of a strange god. Wrong loyalty and affiliation. The Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar, him that offereth an offering unto the Lord. And this have ye done, covering my altar with tears and weeping, crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering from your hand. Yet ye say, wherein, wherefore, how? Because the Lord hath been a witness between thee and the wife of thy youth. Now the Lord is using the common relationship of husband and wife and adultery as an illustration of the greater adultery between the church and the bridegroom. So while he is talking about literal divorce and adultery, bear in mind that the background of this is the relationship of the priests and the people to the great bridegroom. The husband of the youth, the wife of the youth, from which they strayed away, the wife of thy covenant. Did not he make one, that is Adam? Yet he had the residue of the Spirit. Wherefore one, Abraham, that he might seek a goodly seed. Therefore take heed to your spirit, lest he deal treacherously. He shows the apostasy of Adam at creation. He shows the lack of faith of Abraham and the treacherousy that Abraham dealt with Sarah. He said, she's my sister, the wife of his youth. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith, I hate divorce. For one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore take heed of your spirit. Now he looks at the spirit that Adam had in verse 15. He looked for the spirit that Abraham had in verse 15. Now he says, look to your spirit, that ye deal not treacherously. Now this argument here is a very complicated argument from verses 11 through 16. It looks through Israel's apostasy to the establishment of a greater apostasy. It looks through Israel's abomination to the abomination that maketh desolate. And through this whole situation, he is pointing to Israel's sinful regard in their daily lives. Ye have wearied me with your words, but ye say, where have we wearied you? Everyone that doeth evil is good, is what you say. Where is the God who will condemn this? God doesn't condemn. God's too kind. God's too just. We haven't to be judgmental. We haven't to say that he's doing evil. Everyone who does evil is doing the best he can. And so here he is pointing out a strange malaise with Israel, starting with the priests departing from the word, taking everything for granted, ridiculing the sacred things, exploiting their fellow men, finally apostatizing from God. What an awful picture of a lack of true commitment to the service of God.